who we are, a community that loves God and loves people. Really simple, really clear. Second thing, what we do, we lead people into a thriving relationship with Jesus Christ. This is who we are, this is what we do, as individuals and as a body. So we talked about that last week. We talked about kind of parallel tracks. As we've been moving forward, we've been focusing with such great hope about a facility and linking a lot of new ministry things to that facility because it wouldn't be at the school and we'd be able to be in there at nights and in the mornings and in the afternoons and all the time, only to find that God in his sovereignty had quite a different plan than we've had. So it's been delayed and delayed and delayed, and even as I stand here today, we're waiting to hear back from the landlord and the architect because it's in their hands about how it moves forward with the city. So I can't give you a whole lot of new information today other than delayed, delayed, delayed. So rather than just waiting and continuing to focus on this happening there, we are committed to moving. If it's not there, it's going to be somewhere else. We're looking to the Lord with that. But we want to make sure, and I think I apologized last week. I feel like for me as a leader, I let us focus so much on once we move in, we'll get started. Once we move in, we'll get started. That we haven't really started things we need to be doing to fulfill who we are and what we do. So last week I talked about these parallel tracks that we're running on, and one of them being a ministry track. And over all of this, or actually I guess a better metaphor would be under it, the bed that the tracks run on where the rails lay across. Wait, rails are the metal thing, right? What are the wood things? Ties. Under the ties, we really want to have evangelism and believe that evangelism absolutely has to be something that is the bedrock, the foundation of what we're doing and everything. Sharing Christ, whether it be relational evangelism, whether it be the Spirit leading you to share with somebody, whatever it is, really emphasizing and focusing as individuals in a church at the need to make sure the gospel message of Jesus Christ is getting out in appropriate and relevant ways, which occasionally means people aren't going to be happy to hear it. And then we heard about two areas of ministry last week, from Mark Czar about the children's ministry and from Matt's about the student ministry, and have had them begin to look at a ministry plan and how to move forward. And I think some of what, if I could encapsulate it quickly, would be it needs to be fun, it needs to be relevant, but looking more at a discipleship model, more of a small group style, especially with student ministries. And looked a little bit at the fact that we as a church believe that everybody's kind of broken, that every single one of us is. So both Mark and Matt and the teachers, in the same way we would as adults, will focus on what are the strengths of each individual student, each individual child. What are some of the areas where they're broken just like we are? And how can we facilitate that as a church in kind of a discipleship model so we're caring for the whole person? So that's where we're headed with both the children's and the students' ministry. And this week I wanted to look at two more areas that are critical to our health as Christ followers and as a church. First one, spiritual growth, developing a thriving relationship with Christ. And the second one, outreach, missions, community service, and involvement. So let's start with the first one, spiritual growth, developing a thriving relationship with Jesus. There are some things that if we had our own facility would be greatly facilitated. I like the way that sounds. But there are a number of things that we can do and need to be doing in spite of any move. And you know, do you get to the place, if you're over 50, have you gotten to the place where you can no longer read your own handwriting? I look at some of this stuff and I think, was I half asleep when I wrote this? Was I writing left-handed? Because I can't read it. So we're just going to skip that. And we're going to go on to, and I'm sure it was memorable, it was good. But regardless of a facility, there have to be things that we're doing that are encouraging each other, providing opportunities. We'd looked at a mom's group because we thought if we have a building, you know, in the morning, we can have mom's meeting and we can have a nursery there and someone to watch the kids. Can't really do that here with school in session. We don't have a building, so we need to figure out, is there a way that we can do that? For small groups, for midweek teaching, for a number of those things, we've looked at a facility being an answer. And we just have to, as we have for the last 10 years, we've got to focus hard and say, how can we accomplish these things in other ways? And one of the key things is about the small groups. And they play a really important role, I think, in helping each other thrive in our relationship with Christ. And we currently have about a dozen different small group experiences that are listed in the bulletin, some in high school, some in junior high or student ministries. There's about a dozen of them, and we want to expand those as we can. And these happen in a variety of different ways in different places. Some are in the morning over coffee and can be a Bible study. Some are in the morning, and they're more of an accountability, encouragement time, share time. Some are a specific Bible study. Some happen in the evening. I know one of the ones that I go to once a month at Don Gomes' house, tonight we're doing an Asian potluck, and we'll be looking at today's message. We do that. That meets at 5:30 at Don Gomes' house. Don, you're here, aren't you? Did he leave? Whenever I start preaching, Don leaves. If you want to attend that tonight, I can give you the address. And that one's a little bit more nonchalant. We sit and visit and eat food, and then we talk afterward, and pretty much any question's fair game, because I'll say, I don't know. No, any question's fair. So those are some of the things that we do. Sometimes, again, it's topical, it's over scripture, it's in a number of different ways. And in addition, I know a lot of you are involved in other small groups, other things with people from other churches or in your neighborhood or at work, and all those are good. I think being in a small group is really one of the places where the rubber hits the road in Christianity, because it's very hard to discuss, even though we do it sometimes, some of the questions you might have on a Sunday morning like this or in other times. And we want to add more opportunities here for there to be small group settings or gatherings or opportunities on various days where people can get together and they can do a Bible study or they can share around a common need. And if you want to see what those groups are, they're all on the webpage. If you go to the Riverside webpage, and they have not only a description of the group, but who the leader is and when they meet. And I believe also on that table, there's quarter sheet flyers that have kind of a snapshot of each one of those groups as well. Which, if you wanted to come tonight, you could get that right out there. Come to think of it, that's probably the best way to do that. One of the things that we'd been talking about when we got a new facility was starting a Sunday school for adults. And we're going to try and figure out a way to do that anyway, where it may not have childcare to start with, but either before service or after service, having a Sunday school class on a relevant topic, something that people want to talk about on Sundays that would happen either before the service or after. Another area we want to continue to do, short-term studies. Some of these might visit a small group for 3 to 6 weeks. Some of these studies might take part once a month for 4 months, like on a Saturday night or a Friday night over dessert or on a Wednesday night. Some of the topics that we're thinking about are on marriage, parenting, evangelism, finances, how to discover and use your spiritual gifts, any current topics about things that are happening in our country in regard to same-sex marriage, abortion, drug legalization, technology, any of those kind of topics, we feel like those need to be covered. So those are some things that we're hoping after the start of the first year, maybe first of the year, maybe even in January, that we'll begin. But those are on the docket to begin. Also some basic ones, you know, like how to form your faith if you're a new believer. What kind of things you need to know in order to understand what it means to walk with Christ and know him. Another area would be, and I couldn't come up with a good name for these, even though I already had two words beginning with S, so I'm just going to call it gatherings. And we want to start to have men's gatherings and women's gatherings again. Not full-blown ministry, but I know we'd like to start the men's breakfasts again 5 or 6 times a year on a Saturday morning or some other time with a speaker, and then look at doing a retreat again. And we're hoping that that can maybe kick off in January. Same thing with women's. To provide a way for women to get together in a study or a tea or things that have been done before, and look at the women were moving away from kind of a retreat at more one-day conference things. And we feel like that's a very necessary thing here. And by the way, if you're interested in participating in either of those, let me know. But we're hoping after the start of the year that those will get running and going. The second area I wanted to talk about today is the whole area of outreach and missions and community service and involvement. And we've been making strides in that area. You know, sometimes it's difficult to do that as a church with everyone because I feel like we have so many people in our church involved doing that on their own with their neighbors. I mean, this is a church that loves and cares for other people, and we want to make sure we're not taking something that is a great gift because it means people are walking with Christ in their surroundings with people they know ministering to them, and then making it all kind of a scheduled, formal church thing where here's what we're doing. We'd like to see both of those happening. So the purpose for us is to become the hands and the feet of God to those around us who need to know him or who just need help with something. How many of you are here today because someone from this church or someone else who is a believer reached out to you in some very practical, tangible way? Okay, so there's quite a few people here. One of the most effective ways of living Christ in a way that others know him is to do it in such a way that they experience him through you. It really is nothing, in my mind, that's the key to evangelism in so many ways. In Peter, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the hope that you have. And I have no other way to interpret that other than if you're living your life in a way where you're out there looking for ways to care for people, if you have a passionate heart to help people to recognize Jesus and to build a bridge to help them to hopefully experience what you've experienced in your life, then people will ask you why you're doing it. People will ask you why you're different. This last week, I go to the wound center on Mondays now. And by the way, my foot's almost healed. My good foot is almost healed. So I'm getting a pair of tap dancing shoes made on Tuesday at Rosendahl's, and it'll be great. But when I was in there, and this will probably be hard to believe, but I talk with everybody about everything, whether they want to hear it or not. So I found out that one of the nurses there was from Texas and another one was from Massachusetts, and I started a little fight. A good one, but just kind of comparing the differences from my home state with this woman from Texas where everything was larger except her, because I was in evidence that I'm almost 6 foot and rather large and she's only 4 foot 11 and rather small. So not everything from Texas is larger. Point taken, right? And then I don't even know how we got on it, but I started drinking kombucha a while ago, and boy, I could never be the poster child for kombucha because look at me. Do you know what kombucha is? Okay, so you know how all these, there's these health fads that people do? This is one of them, and it starts with a SCOBY. Isn't that a great name for something? And the SCOBY is literally a fungus, and it's called the mother, okay, because she gives birth to other SCOBYs. And you keep her in a jar with this tea made out of tea, water, and sugar, and as it ferments, it makes this effervescent beverage that at the right time, like maybe 10 or 11 days, actually tastes okay. But if you go past that, which I frequently do, it tastes just like a really strong vinegar. But it's good for you. It just loads, I've got so much good bacteria in my system, I can't even tell you. So I don't know how, but we got off on that, and I have a jar full of mothers, SCOBYs, because, yeah. I'm not even going to say anything because I would put my foot in my mouth so badly. I want to apologize to all of you that are mothers, but mother SCOBYs who are ready to give birth to their own young, does that sound better? I mean, I have an iced tea jar with about 10 or 12 of them in it. Actually, if anyone wants one, I just need two for these two nurses because this is where I brought unity to them. They both wanted to try kombucha. So I'm bringing in a bottle of kombucha for each of them, and I'm bringing them in a SCOBY with some of the mother liquid and instructions so they too can be as healthy as I am. And after doing that, it gave me an opportunity because one of them said, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "Well, I can't tell you." And she said, "Well, why can't you tell me?" And I said, "Well, because you take care of my foot and it's going well, and I'd rather it didn't go badly because of my profession if you've had bad experiences with other people or an organization similar to the one that I would represent." And she said, no, really, what do you do? And I said, I just told you, I can't tell you. I said, when my foot's healed, I'd be happy to, but until then, there's a few people I don't want ticked off at me in any way, shape, or form, or practicing any transference because they had bad experiences with others that are in my profession. And I said, it's dentists, it's anyone in the medical profession, and it's any of my neighbors. And she said, what do you do? And I said, I can't tell you. So she has no idea. Dana, we see each other frequently there on Mondays. Don't break it to them. Yeah. So anyway, I'm bringing those in on Tuesday to them, and I'm thinking, what a great opportunity I have to really make them curious, but love them with SCOBYs. Boy, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? To the point where they ask me why I'm doing this. And I don't know how all that's going to work out, but I find myself frequently during the week now, as I'm focusing on, God, how can I be a light for you? How can I minister to you? Because I see my role as a pastor as a privilege, but first and foremost, I'm a Christ follower. I'm a believer, and I never want my walk with God to come out of my title, if you will, or my employee. I want it to be the other way around, and boy, hopefully you do too. And the same for you. No matter what you do for a living, first and foremost, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. You're an ambassador. You're a visible representative of an invisible nation. And everything that you can do to work in such a way, to get to know people in such a way, that you have an opportunity to live the gospel, share the gospel, bless people, it's really what you want to do. So I am very excited that Mark, who received Jesus Christ December 16th, 1978, has an opportunity to continue in that walk for God of not being known as a pastor, because that really messes it up with people often. If they know you're a pastor, they expect you to say and do certain things, and I don't like to be predictable. It really raises people's expectations of you, too, and I'd rather everyone had low expectations of me. It's a lot easier to function. But just seeing all these opportunities that God brings about, and that's the evangelism part. And I'm so happy to be in a church that's healthy, where I know that's going on in so many ways, in your neighborhoods, where you work, with what you do, and it needs to continue to happen that way. That is the primary way, I believe, in our society that people will hear the gospel. Most non-Christians probably aren't going to show up at church, and it's just not going to have the same impact that a relationship would have with somebody. So as individual followers of Christ, continue to reach out. Continue to look at the relationships God brings across your paths. And even more so, especially with those relationships that seem adversarial, seem like there's an enemy, seem that there's somebody who doesn't like you or is making your life miserable, those are really the opportunities where you get to die to self in such a way that the only way they can explain you being nice to them, being kind to them, tolerating them, is Christ. And then when you die to yourself, that opens you up completely to have the power of the living God work through you in such a way that they receive him. That's the key. So that's the first one. As we continue to look at outreach and missions and community service, there's some things that we're going to try and do as a whole church. But boy, we can't lose that personal responsibility that we all have as Christ followers and ambassadors to just love as many people. I printed this out. It's a quote by John Wesley, and it's on a 3x5 card in my truck, and I look at it every morning. And you'd think I'd have it memorized now, but like the handwriting, my mind is following. So it's love. Oh, boy. Is Slater here? Slater, could you go get that card for me so I don't mess it up? Did you lock the truck? I'm not paying you for this either. Okay. And there's an outburst in the congregation. It's kind of like it's right on my visor over my side of the truck, a green 3x5 card. Don't get the one with the address. Well, I guess, Andy, it would be your address, because that won't help. Okay. So I'll read you that when it comes in. But boy, by all means, keep that. As a church, as the body of Christ, Corporately, we're looking at ways we can continue to be involved in the community and in the world to serve and to reach people. That half sheet of what we're trying to do this next month and a half is one of those examples. And it seems like it's easier to do at Christmas because there's more needs and we're recognizing this great gift from God, and it makes sense we'd give gifts to others. But we need to figure out ways where we can do that consistently throughout the year. You know, one of the things in our church is that we have 9 or 10 people who we support in missions. They work for organizations locally, some globally, those with MAF, Crew, Aphesus, Launch, Search, YWAM, that we want to make sure we support them first as brothers and sisters, loving them, caring for them, but in other ways too. And they're ministering in and around the community and the world as an extension of our body. And we have the great privilege of rubbing elbows with people who are totally committed and who God has called to minister to people in the world. And, you know, one other area that we're really looking at investigating is getting involved in Love, Inc. in Meridian. Love, Inc. is an organization that looks at pooling churches together and saying, what are some of the needs in the community that, oh, thanks, son. And I'll buy you lunch. Okay, so sometime in the near future. Oh, yeah, he's like abused, trust me. We had 5 kids, we got 1 at home. Guess who's the spoiled little one? Not Slater, we do that with the cats. Okay, so this is one of those quotes from John Wesley I read a long time ago, and I had it up in my office, my desk. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can. And just having this in my truck and reading it every morning has been such a wonderful help to move it. Stairs have been a little harder, so moving it downstairs and putting it where I'm going to be. And not to do this as some human in the flesh thing where I like this saying. I know it's not the Bible, but I'm pretty sure that John Wesley was a godly man, and I could back this up scripturally. To look at this in the morning and read it and say, God, help me to do this. Help me to do all the good I can, by all the means I can, and all the ways I can, to all the people I can, as long as I can. Yesterday, it included clipping chicken wings for someone, because they'd never done that, and they needed to know how their laying flock could be kept safe from killing each other and flying around. So I went over with my grass shears and took care of it. I know that sounds really strange, but it was really fun. I miss having chickens. Okay. So this is where we're headed. More opportunities to help each other and others to thrive, to hear about Jesus, to see Jesus, to experience Jesus, to learn more about truth, to grow in their relationship. And I don't like having to do what I did last week and this week, which is not have a text to preach off of. It's the hardest thing in the world for me, because I really don't feel like there's a whole lot of good in me apart from wrapping my brain and my heart around Scripture each week and saying, what do you have for us as a church? So we usually don't do kind of informational stuff, but I felt like we needed to know as a body together where we're headed and what we're doing. And if you have any questions about last week or this week, let me know. But what I wanted to do today, and if the worship team wants to come back up, that'd be great. As I finished kind of sketching this out this week, I thought, boy, what would be a good passage for us to read or to think about on Sunday based on just where we're at? And one of my favorite passages in Scripture, in fact, I'm going to commit to memorizing it again, is Romans chapter 12. I think it's got everything you'd ever want to teach someone who's a new Christian. I think it's got, at the same time, enough depth in it where it's extremely challenging to the primary things that we're to believe, and because of that, what we do as believers. So I'm just going to read Romans 12. It's clean, it's pure, it's simple. It can speak to every single one of us without me in any way explaining anything. It is an incredible chapter of Scripture written by the Apostle Paul. And as we look at this, and you can look in your Bible, we're going to be looking at the ESV version. You can read it on the screen. Just see if there's something in here that God speaks to you about directly from the scripture, because that's what he wants to do. So, and I'm going to go down here and do what they tell you you should never do, which is turn my back kind of to you, because I can see it better up there. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Here's where it gets tough. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or proud, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Okay, let me just stop and explain that. You're not putting hot coals on their head to singe their scalp. If your fire went out, the best way to get a new fire was for someone to come over with a basket on their head with some hot coals so that you could restart your fire. It was an act of gratitude, not hair pyromania. Okay? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.